On this episode, we discuss Devil, the scariest elevator-themed horror movie since The Lift. Welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And here he comes, your pal and mine, Elliot Kalin.
So, that's Elliot, me. You're back. You were gone last week.
I was gone last week.
I assume you were overcome with excitement because of NBC's The Cape.
Oh, I was so excited.
That was why you missed it.
I was excited about the show. I was excited about their marketing campaign where they draped capes over statues in New York.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was livid when upon walking past Prospect Park in Brooklyn, there on the stately statue of Mr. Stranahan, the man who made the park possible, was a cape cloaked over him.
And then you went and you beat Christo to death, and it was only later that you discovered that it was not him.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, that's a shame.
Luckily, you went into Christo's history and you were like, you know what? He committed some kind of a crime, and he deserved being murdered by
you.
He killed people with umbrellas.
Yep. So.
He did kill one person with an umbrella.
No, I'm not joking.
So he's in a way, Christo is the closest the real world has come to the Penguin.
Because yes, that's true.
He accidentally killed someone with an umbrella once.
Notify the art world and write a thesis about that.
Salvador Dali was obviously the Joker.
Okay. Yeah.
The Riddler, I'm going to say Jasper Johns.
Who was Clayface?
Clayface was Auguste Rodin.
Okay. Who was Killer Croc?
Killer Croc was Jackson Pollock.
The Riddler?
The Riddler.
We already did the Riddler.
I think Jasper Johns.
Or maybe Penguin.
Maybe Rene Magritte. I said that's what we started with.
Okay.
Poison Ivy was George O'Keefe.
Okay, Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul, probably. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Two-Face.
Two-Face was who's a really hideous-looking artist.
Dracula.
Not really a Batman villain, though they did fight.
All right.
Okay, well. So we had some laughs tonight. See you later.
wait, hold on. We have to talk about a movie that we watched.
G.E. Smith, strike up the closing music because it's the goodbye credits.
No.
So we can all hug each other.
No, guys, we watched a movie together.
Did we?
Yeah. I mean, it was...
What?
You've probably forgotten it already because it was a sleek 80 minutes long.
Yeah, less than that if you don't count the credits.
Yeah.
It was like a Masters of Horror episode.
Except there was no mastery and no horror.
It was a movie about a devil in the elevator.
And it should have been called...
Devil in the Elevator.
This is a movie called Devil.
Uh-huh.
It should have been called either Hellevator or Devil Vader. Or Ella Devil or something.
Like Devil Vader, like Darth Vader?
Yeah, Ella but a devil.
Ella Devil is like a cartoon character, like the daughter of the devil.
Yeah, that's a good point. But it should have been called Hellevator.
Hmm.
And I think that would have let people guess who the identity of which elevator occupant was the devil.
But doesn't it imply that the elevator is hell?
It's just an elevator's taking them to hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like that movie. The
Angel Heart.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, exactly.
The movie, Elevator to Hell.
Well, there's Elevator to the Gallows.
Mm-hmm.
The French crime movie.
There's Exit Through the Gift Shop.
There's If It's Tuesday, This Must Be Belgium, or whatever that movie's called.
These are all...
There's Casablanca.
These are all movies with places in them.
City Lights has City.
Public Enemies.
Public Enemies and Public Enemy.
Okay.
That's two list-making digressions in the first 10 minutes of this episode of the Flop.
Obviously, we loved the film.
So, Elliot, you're back from your vacation.
I am. And let me
ready
tell you,
to synopsize.
Let me tell you, I listened to the Killers podcast and was horrified at what it take you, a half hour to summarize that movie?
Well, that's not badmouth our fine guest, King Lou Fernandez.
I'm not blaming the guest. You guys have been doing this for years.
Okay.
Wait, did we do a podcast without Elliot?
Yeah, you did.
What was it about?
It was Killers with Ashton Kutcher and
Heigl.
Catherine Heigl.
Mm-hmm. I think you're making this up.
And also, who was it? Burt Reynolds? Tom Selleck?
Tom Selleck.
The other one.
The other mustache.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Devil. Here's the thing. It's a very simple plot, so hopefully this won't take too long.
Yeah.
Five people get on an elevator.
What it sounds like a hilarious joke.
All business. Look, watch them go, dude. Yeah.
Three men, two women. There's a security guard, a mysterious, quiet, tough guy man, and an irritating talk-a-mile-a-minute mattress salesman. Of the women, there's an old woman and a young woman. That's the extent of their character.
You got a nice mix. Yeah. You got a mix of people.
It's, and the security guard's black, so it's
a nice Whitman sampler.
It's a cross-section of America.
Yeah. Oh, well, Philadelphia, at least.
Yeah, that's true. And it takes place in Philadelphia.
I was hoping for the Philly Fanatic.
Rocky.
Ben Franklin. It'd be such a better movie. An elevator where Rocky, the Philly Fanatic, and Ben Franklin are trapped. Ben Franklin's trying to invent his way out of it. Rocky's trying to punch his way out. The Philly Fanatic's just trying to keep them going.
And he climbs onto a novelty-sized tractor and rides around. Mm-hmm.
But we know it's Philadelphia because the opening credits show us a cityscape of Philadelphia upside down.
What does that mean, like, Dan?
Yeah, what does it mean, Dan?
It means that they got Tak Fujimoto to do the cinematography. And that's one thing I have to say for this movie is that it looks much better than the movies we usually watch.
That's true. It's a bad movie, but it looks nicer.
The cinematography level is crisp and sharp and atmospheric.
And do you think that was helped at all by the fact that M. Night Shyamalan did not direct this movie, but instead produced it, right?
It's possible. The length is certainly helped by that. Like, he would have stretched this out to 2 hours easy.
And this was produced by M. Night Shyamalan's company, which is called The Night Chronicles? Mm.
I don't know whether that's the name of his company or that's just what he's decided to call this series of movies that he has come up with the stories for. This is apparently the first in, like, three of them, I think.
Well, let me tell you, they are off with a bang, yeah. Starting with the winner, not...
Oh, wow.
Copyright Wayne's World. So these five people are in an elevator. The elevator stops. Cha-chunk. Oh, no, they're trapped. They immediately lose their shit. Let me tell you a true story. Monday morning, I was trapped in a subway tunnel for almost 2 hours. I was on a train, my regular ride to work. The train left the station, got not all the way to the next station stop. Someone must have pulled the emergency brake, or the emergency brake went off by accident. Train was knocked a little bit off the tracks, couldn't get pulled back. They had to bring another train in to pull it back into the last station so we could all get out. This took almost 2 hours. At no point during that time did anyone scream at anybody else, try to kill anyone. There were no blows traded. Nobody revealed any dark secrets about themselves.
Now, Elliot, I'm going to back you up on this story. This Monday was Martin Luther King Day. So what you're saying is that you are a racist.
No, I'm saying that my bosses are racist and I had to work on Martin Luther King Day.
Okay. Well, you heard it from first.
Perhaps it was the ghost.
The Daily Show
maybe
is
was
racist.
The ghost of MLK pushing the train off the tracks.
Anger that you were not honoring him appropriately.
Yeah. Anywho. So let me just say,
I'm going to stop you right here, Elliot.
Okay.
Was there a devil on your subway train?
If there was, we never found out. Because
he was probably irritated because he was trying to get to an elevator somewhere uptown.
Yeah. Oh, I've got people I'm supposed to be killing in because of their sins.
In a roundabout way.
So there's five people in this elevator. The elevator stops. They instantly turn on each other. Suddenly the lights go out and one of the women, the young woman, when the lights go on, her back is all bloody. She thinks something bit her. Oh, no, she's been attacked. Which one of the people in the elevator did it? They don't know. Suddenly the people in the elevator start dying one by one. Meanwhile, we saw a person – before the credits, someone jumps to their death out of this very building. And there's a police officer investigating that. He gets pulled into the investigation of this elevator, which the maintenance crew of the building and the security guards of the building – one, take incredibly not seriously. Mm-hmm. They're literally watching people go crazy on the security monitor in a stuck elevator, and they're like, I guess they're really going nuts in there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what happens. People get scared in elevators. Anywho. And they've got one maintenance guy who apparently runs everything for this at least 39-story building.
Yeah, well, there's, like, at least three security guards.
They have two security guards in the front desk, two in the monitor room, and then one maintenance man. For a skyscraper.
Yeah.
A building that literally is scraping the sky, bloody and raw.
Yeah, there are whole floors on this skyscraper that have not been cleaned. Like computers have been down. You know, it's a mess.
There's also like, here's what usually happens. I feel like when an elevator shuts down, they open the doors for the floor above the elevator. Everyone gets out of the top of the elevator and they climb out through those open doors.
Yeah, if Die Hard taught us anything.
Yeah, in this one, that is apparently not possible. Apparently, there are no elevator doors between the 38th floor and, like, what, the second floor? So the firefighters have to come in and start literally drilling through the walls.
They do address this. It's an express elevator. So they don't there are no entrances, apparently.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is
You were
still...
probably talking about, you know, the day you had.
I was biting into a Madeleine at the time, so I was just remembering things that happened in my past when my family was younger.
It is strange, however... How they do open the top of the elevator, but then like that's abandoned. Like they could
climb out. They decide that's not worth
their
time.
That's not.
One of the security guards is Hispanic, so that means he's a devout Catholic, mm-hmm. and he believes that the devil
believes in El Diablo.
Yes, he saw on the security monitor there was a flickering.
Isn't that like a sandwich that gives you heartburn?
At participating realtors, yes,
sure.
Or retailers. The participating realtors probably also give you sandwiches. I guess at their open houses. It's part of our Century 21 spicy sandwich program. You buy a house and you get a free sandwich.
Six inch sub?
Or you buy a 6-inch sub and you get a house.
Wow.
In this housing market, listen.
Yeah.
Anywho, so he saw a flickering image on one of the screens of what appeared to be, I don't know what, a yelling face, like a bloody face. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a face.
Some had a face.
I think it's Sam Neill from
Event Horizon after he rips his eyes out.
Yeah,
spoiler alert. Spoiler alert to a movie from 1997 that you're not going to see.
It might be Bob from Twin Peaks. It's not clear.
Yeah, it could be anybody. Bob from Twin Peaks.
Well,
mixing universes. Come on.
I thought we were doing out-of-date references.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. What was it? Oh, so the security guard assumes the devil is at play. There's been this kind of...
In the fields of the Lord.
This occasional narration from that character, but we don't know it at first, explaining that when he was a kid, his mom told him the devil would sometimes toy with people before taking mm-hmm. their souls to hell.
He would wear Prada.
Every choice we make leads us to this moment when the devil takes us and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, guess what? Yeah, it's the devil in the elevator. That's what happens. It turns out everyone in the elevator has a sinister crime they committed. And... the police officer who's involved is a recovering alcoholic because years ago his wife and son were killed in a hit and run accident, and so he's overcoming that. Is the guy who committed the hit and run in the elevator? Spoiler alert: yes. And it is the people in the elevator die one by one. Which one of the people in the elevator is the devil? Could it be the black security guard? Could it be the young guy? Could it be the old woman? Well. Which one is it going to be if you were making a movie?
If I was going to make the movie Legion, the devil would be the old woman.
Well, also in the movie Devil. So, at the last minute, after much non-scary horror.
I'd normally assume it was going to be the security guard because that would be a role reversal because he's supposed to be protecting us, you know? He's the security guard.
Well, Elliot also guessed the security guard because he's a racist because he didn't go to... He didn't stay home on MLK Day.
Yep, so. That's exactly what happened.
Yep.
Yikes. Anyway, this is a good meme to run with that I'm a racist.
You try to make me out to be some sort of militia
that's
terrorist.
That's right, I forgot. You were an anti-government militia nut with hooks for hands. Anyway.
What's sauce for the goose? It's.
I've never heard that one.
Okay, so everybody dies.
Everyone dies except... one guy.
The granny?
No, the granny is the devil.
Okay.
Except the guy who killed the cop's
Granny's
family.
Granny's the devil would be a better title for the movie, too.
The guy,
that title's already taken.
The guy who killed the cop's family confesses his sins over a walkie-talkie, so the devil can't take him anymore. Mm-hmm. He's being taken away by the cop who is being taken to the police station by the cop whose family killed him. The cop says, "That was my family. And you know, all these years I've been thinking of what I was going to say to you. But you know what? I forgive you." And the narration reminds us that if the devil exists, that means God also exists. Oh, and also we see some of the worst police work in the history of movies.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. That's Devil, a trim 78 minutes of crap.
So this was a horror movie, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, but okay. It's not.
So it's a horror movie that begins with a Bible quote. Yes. Always a bad sign. If you're watching a movie and you see a Bible quote open up the movie, probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
Especially well, a horror movie.
Well, actually, there must be something, but I can't think of any.
I'm not against.
If it's a Western, it might be okay.
Okay, yeah.
But if it's a horror movie, automatically going to be bad. A whole bunch of this fucking, as you were mentioning, narration. Like, you have this narrator telling us all about,
how the
Jesus
devil
magic
works.
And shit. And, like, telling us what we're going to see, like, why we should be scared of an elevator. And it's so irritating and not scary.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
It's not scary when a movie tells you why you should be scared.
No, I was just going to say, like, I don't mind a horror movie ending with some hope. Like, it should be hard-won hope, but I like a horror movie where people actually come out on the other side. There's, like, too many nihilistic horror movies, I feel like. But I don't like horror movies where it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, you've actually been sort of, a benevolent force has been looking out for you this entire time. Or, like, something like ghost stories where it's like, oh, you know what, the ghosts are just confused souls who need to be laid to rest. Like, anything where it's like...
Well, footprints on the sand. I was carrying you.
Yeah.
The horror story of walking on a beach with Jesus.
Like, you shouldn't walk away, I think, from a horror story being like, oh, that's a nice Sunday school message for me.
Yeah. Yep. You made me – I forgot about the part where you reminded me about the – as to help back up his case, mm-hmm. the security guard notes that kids fall down all the time and almost hit their heads on tables. Why don't they hit their heads on tables more often?
Yeah.
And also, he drops a piece of toast on the ground, and it lands jam side down. So he says, "Oh no!"
By the way,
I assume it's part of. There's a mini kitchen. Okay. We didn't really find out about that.
Smucker's has an office in the building.
Well, that's like the most interesting part of the movie for me was the maintenance guy is going through like the tunnels underneath the building, and he sees a raccoon for a minute. And I was like, "How did that raccoon get in there?"
Yeah.
And I really would have loved
it's
to devil. Just. I wish Heart the movie. I wish the camera had then panned over the raccoon, and then the next hour was just that raccoon going about his business, washing his food. Knocking over trash cans,
you
know.
Adorable.
Would he have like a little like a little raccoon style house down there? Like
I would love that, like the Fantastic Mr. Fox, but better.
Yeah, and there's like a little rat that has like a newsstand that he sells. The,
and he could be like a he could be his job could be a robber because raccoons are the robbers of the animal
kingdom.
And
there's a cranky old possum who funds his robberies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they steal from trash cans.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I just thought it was apparel based.
It's partly apparel.
It's not apparel. I mean,
they're not wearing masks for real.
No, that's not.
It's just the coloration around the eyes.
Okay. I thought that was a mask they wore.
They can't sew.
I was wondering who's putting those masks on.
Yeah, they don't have opposable thumbs. So.
I thought they did. They got them little hands.
Anywho, so he drops his toast and it falls jelly side down. And he goes, oh, no. It never falls jelly side down. So the movie.
That's not true.
The movie's proof as to why there is a God. And the devil is now in effect is, one, kids never hit their heads on tables when they fall, which is not true. Happened to me. Two.
Well, that's good, but the devil was around when that happened.
I'm not a believer, so that must have been it. And two, toast never falls with the jam side down.
Yeah, well, this is just a test. This is it's like, it's like in Ghostbusters. They have the
PKE meters?
PKE meters.
Sure.
And so, like, the similar thing for like, the devil
but that's
is
at
you
least.
Get the toast, you jam it up.
Jam it up.
You drop it.
Just jam that sucker out. Just jam the shit out of it.
If it lands jam side down.
Devil.
The devil.
At least the PKE is the thinnest veneer of science. Like, just dropping jam on the, but it's based on a fallacy. The idea that toast never lands jam side down, which it does all the time.
Well, but that's when the devil's around.
Where
Elliot, you should have had some jam and some toast when you were stuck on that train.
Just to test and see if the devil was there?
The devil was probably behind all that. Yeah.
There was someone wearing Prada.
Yep.
Where did you get the whole jam toast thing? Is that in the Bible?
I think it's in Matthew.
Sure, it's the book of Matthew.
Matthew 10 jam.
It's in Condiments 2:24.
Chapter 10 verse jam.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But it's so it's a dumb movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of the security guards telling the maintenance guy to go up and down and up and down.
True. It feels so bad for the maintenance guy.
It's a movie where
whose name is Dwight.
Dwight, yeah.
And I know it is because they call him by his name every time they talk to him.
Now, if you were going to tell me that I was going to watch a movie about a bunch of people stuck in the elevator and like the devil haunting them, I would imagine more of the movie would be shot in the elevator. Like, you'd try and build up the claustrophobia of being stuck in this space and, like, basically getting to know every inch of their confines. But any chance of this claustrophobia is taken out by, like, you know, going to see what this police officer is doing outside of the building or what are these security guards doing watching this amazingly high-definition security camera?
What's going on in the lobby? You never feel trapped.
Yeah.
Which would be the first thing you think you'd do, exactly, yeah.
Speaking of the lobby, I was very distressed by the fact that the police officer tells them to evacuate the entire building but not to let anyone leave. So we are to believe that the entire populace of this skyscraper, again, scraping skies, as you said, fits within the lobby.
Fits comfortably in the lobby. That's the thing. Even if you had, like, the elevator's getting crowded, and then you at least move to the lobby. Oh, good. Then the lobby is filled with people, and people in the lobby start feeling claustrophobic. You could have had different kind of levels of claustrophobia moving. Like, area is safe. You're enclosed.
A riot almost breaks out in the lobby.
Exactly. But everyone's very docile, and it's one of those movies where
– they're docile until the old security guard who accidentally electrocuted himself –
Stumbles in,
like trailing like a smoke cloud.
But even then, they deal with it pretty easily. Like everyone's like, "Oh my god! Oh well, that's over." And his smoking body is still there, and he's smoking hot. But
well, they were excited because they knew that they were gonna have a luau. They're gonna just pull some meat right off the bone.
Wow,
long pig.
What?
But they like it's a movie. It's one of these movies where there's never any complication that's caused by the plot. The only thing that stops everyone from solving the problem is their own incompetence.
Over and over again. The devil is the antagonist.
Magic, that's true.
And he has magic. But like you never get the feeling that like this cop is really good at his job and there's just too much complication and too much difficulty. It's always like, this is a bad cop. He's not very good at his job. Like, no one, they should have just sent people to get these guys out of the elevator earlier, like. And also, all the scares are of the lights go out and you hear a lot of, like, smashing sounds, and then the lights go on and someone's dead, you know?
Yeah, well, I want to address that in a moment, but the converse of the bad cop, though, is, like, the ridiculousness of this highly religious
security guard,
where he's the character who's there to make huge leaps that no one would. You know, he's like, okay, there's a face on this security tape, and people are getting mad at each other, so the devil must be around. And obviously the way to combat the devil is to get these people to face up to their own flaws and maybe become better people. And I don't know. I don't think the security guard saw anything to support these wild surmises.
Well, this is the guy who thinks that the jam, toast falling jam side up is a sign that God is watching out for us. I have to say, and if God is really looking out for most pieces of toast with jam on them, just give it. We don't need it that bad.
Elliot, his eye is on the sparrow. Listen, so I know he watches toast.
But there are huge problems like in Haiti or, you know, the Sudan that he could go help with instead of watching out for the toast.
He's busy with toast.
And kids and tables.
It's
everyday miracles, Elliot.
That's just another ordinary miracle today.
Yeah.
It's like Ann Getty's calendar.
Everyday miracles. Kids magically transmuted into fruit. And bugs.
It's beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I always imagine them doing it like in a TV show about Ann Getty's, and like it's very mysterious the whole time, and then they reveal at the end Ann Getty's is a giant baby. You've learned the horrible secret of Ann Getty's.
I would like to see a calendar where the insect babies are feeding off of the fruit babies.
It's a scary calendar because the idea that you could just crack open a watermelon and find a sleeping baby inside, it's frightening.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do in that situation?
Well, you throw it out.
The first thing you do is you get rid of it. Yeah. Maybe take it back to the market and ask for a refund.
Yeah.
You can't take that baby to the police because they're not going to – it's going to be like a devil situation. They're not going to buy your story.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Sure, you found it in a watermelon.
Oh,
didn't
tell
you?
Me another one. Who the other one, O'Malahan?
Yep.
Because the guy who found the watermelon's also Irish. Then I assume
you know,
be...
watermelon's a very common Irish fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got to assume that, like, the farmer's Isle. Son was masturbating in the field, sure. And that somehow impregnated the watermelon.
Okay. It's like a Brothers Grimm sort of thing.
Exactly.
A woman pulled a watermelon. She landed on a watermelon.
Okay.
It had gone landed up on inside it. Her. An egg had somehow made its way into the watermelon.
Well, the eggs are like one cell.
Yeah.
And they start, so it could easily slip in through the cracks of the shell of a watermelon.
And then the baby just fed on the sweet watermelon
rind,
juice.
I think. I don't think it's called a shell.
Yeah, right. What, you don't call it a watermelon shell? Crack that shell open. Let's have some watermelon. Ah, baby!
Some hard-boiled watermelon.
I think the next Night Chronicles movie should be about babies and watermelons.
Yeah, baby melon babies.
I mean, we've described the Cabbage Patch Kids, guys.
Yes, you're right. But that was babies with cabbages on them.
Yeah,
completely different.
Do you think that
legally different?
Anyway. What I was going to say about the lights going out and up, it's, I don't know what the, like, the devil's M.O. is so strange to me in this movie, because it's like...
He causes trouble.
He seems to be really keen on
killing
them. He's
like Michael Moore.
Them.
He just goes in and, like, goes into a building and messes things up for the business.
But he's, like, killing them Agatha Christie 10 Little Indian style, I guess. I guess, you know, like, the devil's getting off on sowing discord among
He likes to toy with mortals.
Yeah. But then at the end...
She.
As we pointed out.
She? Really?
Yeah, she.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The devil in the movie is a woman.
Yeah.
And there's that movie, The Devil is a Woman.
But at the end, as we pointed out, she reveals herself to the last survivor, giving him a chance to redeem himself by asking the devil to take him instead of the woman.
And then confessing his sins.
Confessing his sins, and which, you know, like later gives the sinned against a chance to forgive him. And I don't know why the devil would do that if the devil was perfectly happy just killing everyone earlier in the film.
Because the devil realizes the movie is almost over.
Okay.
And he's got to do something. She's got to do something different.
This is part of the elaborate chess game.
Well,
the
they even like,
with God.
But there's even that like that voiceover point where they're
they
like
ping pong?
The last victim is always murdered in front of the person they love the most.
Oh yeah.
So maybe. What? Yeah. They totally did that.
Yeah,
voiceover.
To make cynics out of us.
That's why they explained why that like the guy's fiance showed up right at the very end.
Yeah,
right.
You know, the one with all the tattoos on her neck.
Yeah, the girl who played with fire.
So what you're saying? So what you're saying is that voiceover was just there to paper over holes in the plot.
Yes,
I would say yes.
Just explain arbitrary rules so that the movie could exist.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming the main point of the voiceover is A, to cover over any plot holes, and B, try and tell us why we're scared and, like, try and build up the tension of certain scenes
and
that otherwise would be really boring.
And to explain the rules of this universe. I mean, that's papering over the holes, but a more positive spin to put on that would be just to explain the rules of the game, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Directed by Gene Romare. But they, like... he's supposed to be – at first it seems like he's just building the tension up, like, my mama told me the devil comes for people. And it's like, yawn.
And also –
that's like the beginning of Legion too, right? Wasn't there a voiceover like, my mama always said magic devils will kill me if I'm
– Someday God will decide to get rid of all the people and wipe them out. And I said, okay. And then it did and then it didn't because it's movie Legion. That's another movie that took itself way too seriously. This one takes itself very seriously.
Yeah, for as silly as it is.
It is a movie about the devil killing people in an elevator.
That's the other thing.
It is a silly premise.
The gold elevator.
At first it seems like it's going to be a movie about how quickly we turn against each other, but it isn't.
Yeah. The devil seems pretty powerful just magic-wise in this movie, and yet it needs to draw people together into a confined space for easy slaughter.
Yeah, well, he
can't just pick off people.
It's just more convenient that way.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if I can make an excuse for all these people to come to this one building, I can, my afternoon will be off.
It's like, well, if I
doesn't have to travel as much.
If I, it's like I could go to all these stores, or I could go to Target and get all the stuff I need right. in one stop. That'll take less time.
Yeah, this is why the mom and pop devils are getting killed off.
It is a movie that tells you that if the devil needs to trap you before it can get to you, you know, mm-hmm. they're very powerful. Maybe I'm reading too much into the mythology of the movie Devil.
Okay.
Maybe it's postulating a universe with many different kinds of devils with powers or controls over different areas. Mm-hmm. This is
maybe
the
different elements.
Exactly. One of those elements, elevators.
Okay.
Or perhaps vertical travel.
So that would be a elevator bender.
Yes. He's an elevator bender, exactly. Which gives him the power to stop elevators and kill people in elevators.
Yeah. All right.
Elevistopolis.
So it's like that. It's like that book, The God of Small Things, but the reverse.
Yeah, the devil of elevators.
Yeah. All right.
The devil of small spaces, parentheses, particularly elevators.
So,
and what was the significance of the suicide at the very beginning?
That they never really explained.
Oh yeah, I want to talk a moment about this because.
That's also wait. There's a. The movie opens with someone jumping to their death out of this building. They jump through a window. There's a big hole in the window, huge, size of a person. And the maintenance guy is like, I'm just up here fixing this hole in the window. They don't put two and two together that someone jumped through the window till later, right. even though there's a suicide note right there that yeah. they find that they read later in the movie.
Well, speaking of that suicide note, I wanted to say so there's an actress in this film, Carolyn DiVerna. Who I have a crush on from the – she was on the show Wonderfalls. And she has literally three lines in the whole film.
But she's in – she does a couple different things. One
– She stands around the corner.
She walks by.
Uh-huh.
Another time she's standing there drinking coffee.
Yep.
And a third time she finds that letter.
Right.
I kind of understand your crush now.
But sure. She's good at
she only gives you little bits. Like,
yeah. Oh,
she doesn't overstay her welcome.
Teases you.
But But her character talks to the main detective about this suicide note, and she's like,
"Sure, eyebrows, this, widow's peak guy.
Isn't this weird? This note ends with, I can hear the devil's footsteps behind me. Isn't that strange? Usually suicide notes are either rational all the way through or crazy all the way through. But she somehow thinks that ending a suicide note with, I can hear the devil's footsteps behind me is a crazy way to end a suicide note. Someone who's going to kill themselves and presumably feels bad about something ends their suicide note in that way, and that piques her interest somehow.
She seems to think that – she takes it literally instantly.
Yeah.
Like if you read a suicide note –
this is a world where everyone believes the devil except for our main hero.
He
starts believing in like halfway through though.
He starts picking it up eventually. If you read a note – like that, or like even if someone sent you an email and was like, oh, like,
gotta go, devil's footsteps are behind me,
or like, you know, God willing, this will happen, you're not gonna be like, that's weird, like, why would she start talking about God in this yeah. email? Like people use metaphorical language all the time, you know.
But especially if it's their last words on this earth.
People never try to be overly flowery or creative in their final
there's
moments.
More than one way to skin a cat. What are you doing taking the skin off of cats? No, And it was just an expression I was using. Oh, okay. Oh, never mind then. I'm a forensic scientist.
Yeah. She has a disease where she takes everything literally is what you're saying.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know that we
have.
Unless
communicated?
Kissing. Orally? Yeah.
Like mono?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or tongues.
Gross.
Tongues are communicated through kissing.
Gross.
Gross.
Ew, with the girl?
Doesn't care for kissing.
Mm-mm. No. I only do it through a dental dam.
He only does it Eskimo style.
Only does it through a Hoover Dam.
What's that with by only eating meat or?
Yeah, there's pemmican involved.
You have to be very cold.
Sure. You lay down.
Not only on a dog sled.
You lay down a thick layer of whale blubber.
Okay. I'm with you.
And slide towards each other.
It involves using a spear and scrimshaw.
Yeah, okay. These are all stereotypical Eskimo-y things.
Wait, we're not done, and they have 400 words for it.
Yep. And done.
We never find. I don't think we ever found out why that person committed suicide. It was like they needed a shocking, like a shock to start the movie, so they have someone plummet to their death. But then it was like
it was left over from The Happening.
Kind of, yeah. Then they just forget about it.
Got done watching The Happening, and we're like, I'm done with this shit. This is the height of human creativity. I don't need to see anything else. It'll all be downhill from here.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the internet video on YouTube where it's that scene from The Happening and every time a body falls, it's Raining Men plays for like a couple seconds?
That's pretty good. Thank you, YouTube.
Nice work, YouTube. Right up there with the Different Strokes video where they put scary music over the opening credits. So it looks like Conrad Bain is kidnapping two children. It's the best video on YouTube.
I saw this one where
was there a cute cat involved?
Oh wait, you already saw that one?
Yeah.
Okay, that was good.
So guys, I think we might have covered.
What else is there to say about Devil?
I
would say M. Night Shyamalan, stick to your day job of directing, except he makes bad movies as a director too.
This felt like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know what else to say. There's a twist, kind of.
I will
kinda.
Say that movies where the point of the movie is that everything is part of a larger plan and every choice you make is leading you up to a predetermined moment, I'm not a big fan of those.
Yeah.
I don't find them that scary because, I don't know, the idea of, like, I'm only being killed because I did something bad. Like, that's stupid. Like, I didn't do anything bad, yeah. So I'm not worried about a devil coming and murdering me.
You know you're blameless and innocent as the newborn driven lambs.
Absolutely.
The rain should fall upon the good and bad equally, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And by rain, I mean devil elevators.
Yeah. Devil-vaders, yeah.
Okay, so let's do our final judgments.
Hell-evaders.
A good bad movie, a bad bad movie, or a movie you actually
hella devils.
Kind of like.
Hella devils.
Stuart, what's your final words on this?
Well, the movie was really fast. Yeah. No, I didn't like this at all. I particularly don't care for horror movies that seem to actively try to make itself not scary, and this movie was that type of movie. So not scary, not good, bad.
I'm going to... We've seen so many bad, bad movies lately. I might be grading on a curve, but I'm going to say that for me, this was a good, bad movie because it did zip along.
Except for all the boring parts, which there were legion.
Yeah, but it was like 70
except
minutes.
For the movie, it's very short.
The cinematography was nice, so it wasn't a pain to look at.
That's true. And you had a crush on that one chick.
Yeah, and she was around on the corners. And there were ridiculous things like the jam test for devils.
Yeah,
so...
that sounds way funnier than it is in the movie, though.
Yeah.
And there was a raccoon. You thought that was cool.
That part? That was me.
You both wearing glasses tonight.
Sure. Elliot, what do you have to say?
I don't know. It's a bad, bad movie, but not quite as bad as some of the other ones we've seen recently. I'd rather watch this than The Last Airbender, but it's still a bad, bad movie. You know, I had high hopes that it would be a crazy, silly movie, but it turned out to be kind of boring, and like there's a few silly things, but not enough of them. And maybe we should have done Gooby after all.
Yeah, we were talking about doing Gooby. Look up the trailer for that, people.
maybe next time.
Maybe, what's
maybe
a Gooby?
We'll still do Gooby.
It's a 6-foot
like
bear with the voice of Robbie Coltrane.
Yeah. Hi, it's Dan here. If you like listening to The Flophouse, why not visit us on the web at www.flophousepodcast.com, where you can find show notes, videos, fan art, and links to Wikipedia synopses of all the Flophouse films. So you can play along at home. If you're looking for more Flophouse stuff, check out our Facebook page where you can discuss the show with other fans, or subscribe to our Twitter feed at The Flophouse Pod. Your support helps us build an audience, so if you like the show, why not vote for us at Podcast Alley, or subscribe to the show on iTunes. And while you're there, take a moment to write a review. Links for everything can be found on the webpage. Lastly, we love hearing from you, so if you have thoughts, feedback, or suggestions, let us know at theflophousepodcast@gmail.com. Now back to the show. There's a couple of letters here.
Letters. We get letters.
They're not
letters.
This one is in regard to, I believe, the which one was it?
I don't know, man. You're the one with the letter.
Hold on.
We don't read these ahead of time.
Before Killers, what did we do?
Oh, was that, that wasn't Airbender, was it? Maybe
yeah,
it was.
I think this is in response to the Airbender episode.
This is some Night Shyamalan again.
The
Shyamalan.
Which included the...
I said mean things about him that one time, and yeah. I think he's about running his kids
M. Night Suriname.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is, I believe, in regard to that podcast, which was a one of our crazier, and he's... Mark, last name withheld, says... Love this one, guys. There have been times I've wanted to send email on many occasions, but the rambling and side convos were great. I know others probably hate it, but the nutty mind of your friend Mark loved every second.
Great. I don't remember what we did. I think we were all high on life.
I think that was the one that involved a long side conversation about Bryce Dallas Howard, nude in the Mandalay Bay casino.
yeah, that's right. That didn't make any sense.
I mean, but this brings up a good point because I think we enjoy the craziness, the digressions. There's some out there I've heard from some people who wish we would stay more
really
on target. To me, I've always thought of this as a
well. We just talked about Devil for a half hour, yeah. So
I've always thought of this as a podcast that's mainly about stupid comedy, and we watch a movie to give us an excuse to talk about something. People can weigh in on this, maybe. This
yeah,
question.
Send in your letters.
I think
the
people
that
complain about our silly moments are the same sort of people who need an entire hour and a half of a movie to be convinced that, like, all they need is a little bit of laughter to make their life better. like a magical fairy has to show up and make that person enjoy life because mm-hmm. they're too busy.
It's quite
being...
a leap.
I don't know.
So you're saying like
a stodgy accountant,
a working man who doesn't leave enough time for his family.
Yep,
right.
You know, he's just got to be silly for once, not care what his neighbors think.
Yeah. But it's really tough for him to get over that. Like
yeah. He should not care about his high powered job that's providing for him and for the wellness of his loved ones.
Yeah, and maybe
sure, and maybe the
legacy.
People involved in his organization, yeah. Like maybe because he's so good at his job, he's helping these people pay their bills.
Yeah. He should make sure to go to his child's recital instead.
But it's really tough with his schedule.
Yeah.
Or like help out at their ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to Neverland and fight Captain Hook. Whoa, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. That was a different...
Oh, shit.
That was the same... Or was it... That's the movie
just
where
keep reading that.
That's the movie where children are taught that if you have enough imagination, you don't need real food. You can imagine food and you won't die of starvation.
Yeah.
Terrible lesson.
Thank you, Spielberg.
What have you done for us lately? What has he done lately?
I don't know.
What was his last movie?
What happened to that kid who played Rufio?
His last Anyway. This one's there's only two letters. They're both very brief. This one's from Jen, last name withheld, who has been with us from the beginning, a big fan.
Thanks. I hope this is not the letter telling us I've had enough and I'm leaving.
No.
Bang-a-rang.
But it is saying...
What?
For what...
Another Hook reference.
Jen is saying, for what it's worth, my favorite Ninja Turtle was Leonardo.
Boo!
He's noble and stuff, and he wears blue, which is the best color. So Dan,
that's true.
Tell everyone to lay off. So lay off, guys. That's what I say.
I don't know. I like blue, but is blue the best color? Purple, Donatello, is the color of royalty.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Red, for Raphael, is the color of passion.
Yeah.
And orange, for Michelangelo, is the color of pizza. So I don't know.
Is it the color of pizza?
Blue. Blue is only the best color of pupils, of eyeballs.
Ah, racist.
Wow, that is racial, yeah. Oh, sorry. Orange is the color of night.
Okay. What? orange.
So those
I didn't say banana again.
Jen, you have my permission to stop listening now.
Okay. So thanks for the letters, guys.
Thanks. Send more letters.
Keep them pouring in.
And weigh in on the
Flophousepodcast at gmail.com.
The Flophousepodcast at gmail.com.
Or the Flophouse House Cat.
No.
At flopcast.flop.
Dot meow.
If you want to write to the Flophouse House Cat. The non-existent character that Stuart
non-existent.
Where's
he exists in the hearts of fucking children everywhere, dude.
You can also send
non-existent, you asshole.
You can send those as well to the Flophouse podcast.
Where's the Flophouse House Cat been all this show?
He's so tired. He's been working like a dog. One of us has got to pay the bills, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And weigh in on the great silly tangents or not silly tangents debate. Do you like to hear more about the movies, or do you like to hear us say crazy things about Teddy Grahams and the Porthole of Time?
Yep. Chopin Godables.
And Chopin Godables.
So, guys.
Classics. Classics all.
Let's
the Pantheon.
Let's move on to...
Okay, what's next?
Recommendations. Movies that you may have seen recently, but not if you haven't.
Can we recommend movies we haven't seen?
Yes.
I don't know why, I'd like to recommend that,
it's called Rocket Crocodile in the World of Tomorrow. Okay. It's a movie that doesn't exist, and I'm making it up as I go along. It involves a crocodile astronaut. He accidentally falls through a time machine warp and becomes a rock star in the world of the future, which also has dinosaurs.
I don't know how I'm going to link to that on the website.
Oh, yeah.
Usually I link to
And Gina
IMDb.
Gershon is nude in, like, every scene.
Okay. Sure. So, like, any Gina Gershon role.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Also, Carla Gugino is nude in every scene.
Like, half of her role.
Rocket Crocodile is fully clothed.
Do they have speaking roles, or are they just naked in the background?
I mean, there's a little bit of that. Okay. There's a little bit of speaking, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, just to make it not exploitative.
And to set up the nudity, like, exactly. Oh, man, it's so hot in here.
Or, I'm going to take a shower now, but I'll just stand around first.
Or, who put all these ants in my clothing?
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to see that excuse.
So, Rocket Crocodile.
They run into the room.
I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, keep your eyes peeled at the Cineplex.
I'm giving it 5 out of 5 amazings.
Okay. So, go to Netflix.
There's a lot of scenes.
Save. Go to put save in, so that it goes in your queue.
Whatever movie comes up on the autofill,
just take it.
That's
closest to Rocket Crocodile in the World of Tomorrow.
Probably is Doll Man.
Soundtrack by Talking Heads. They got back together to do the soundtrack.
Wow,
sure.
And Danzig.
You got them together. That's
Glenn amazing. Danzig and David Byrne finally working together.
I'm amazed that Rocket Crocodile solved the Byrne-Weymouth rift that has kept Talking Heads from reuniting.
Oh yeah, well, it's the World of Tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, well, that's your recommendation, Elliot.
He has to stop the clothing bandit who's stealing clothing from all the beautiful women in the world.
Right. I think I've seen this movie in my dreams.
You're thinking of The Devil Wears Nada.
Oh, okay.
Which you should also watch instead of Devil.
I thought I was thinking of The Invisible Maniac again.
You have like 3 movies that you recommend in rotation.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but he kills a guy with a submarine sandwich.
You mentioned it many times.
Stuart, do you have an actual recommendation, or should I?
I do have a recommendation this time, dude.
It's called Castle Freak.
It's a little movie called Centurion.
Oh.
Directed, it's Neil Marshall's follow-up to the much-maligned Doomsday.
Which I enjoy.
In Centurion, you have a group of Roman soldiers.
Centurions, if you will.
Up in north of Britain, and they end up, they get caught behind enemy lines, and they have to make their way back to Rome, Roman territory. Mm-hmm.
A bunch of Picts are
hunted by a bunch of Picts.
So it's like a remake of The Warriors.
A lot like The Warriors, but instead of gangs, you have Pictish tribesmen.
Ah.
And the main reason I want to recommend it is because having recently watched The Expendables, which had a ton of bad CGI gore, Centurion clearly had a much smaller budget. They managed to fill that movie beginning to end with, like, chopped off limbs, smashed in faces, all kinds of gore. And it never looks super fake. Like, it never...
Leslie Gore.
They're much better at hiding any of the CGI that they use to make some dude's arm get whacked off.
Mm-hmm. I saw the realization on your face of the phrase you had used.
So, Centurion, if you want to watch a bunch of dudes get their arms whacked off, it's awesome.
Netflix watch instantly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So drag it into your queue. Hit the watch button.
Okay, so
it's an actual recommendation, and it's not one of my go-tos. Like Castle Freak or Invisible Man.
Did I mention that Rocket Crocodile's sidekick is a wisecracking zebra?
No.
Is it animated or a guy in a zebra
now,
suit?
It's a guy in a zebra suit, but the mouth is animated.
Is the zebra afraid that Rocket Crocodile is going to eat him or her?
No, he's wisecracking. He's okay. Like, he's cynical, he's seen it all.
Okay.
And he's a girl.
Okay.
Like, so like an Eddie Murphy type?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. You know, like Osmosis
Jones.
It's
like a bromance, but with girls.
Wait. A gromance.
So I saw a couple movies that I liked recently. I saw Exit Through the Gift Shop, which I referenced earlier, in one of our popular Flophouse lists earlier in the program.
I call them free associatins.
Yeah. And
I call it wasting time.
I don't have a lot to say about the movie because I feel like it's been said. It's a movie that's shown up on a lot of
best
of the year lists, so it doesn't need me throwing my limited weight behind it. But it's also on Watch Instantly, so you should watch that. It's very enjoyable. And
where should you exit?
Through the Gift Shop.
Oh, okay.
And I watched The Square, the Australian thriller that a lot of people compared to Blood Simple. And it's not as good as Blood Simple, but it shares with Blood Simple the kind of like noir thriller, something that should be a very simple plan goes
like a simple
wrong.
Plan.
Yes. It goes wrong early and often. And,
single man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A solitary man.
A man for all seasons.
Leslie Mann. So
Manimal.
I'm not going to keep this up.
Okay.
Mandingo.
So, I'm
Man-a-Man, the character who's in the background of the Jabba the Hutt scenes in Return of the Jedi.
Ram Man?
Ram Man.
So, while we keep this going, I'm just going to sign off.
No, I got a recommendation to make.
A real one?
Sure. Well, okay. It's like,
sequel to Rocket Crocodile.
It's called Rocket Crocodile Goes to the Past. He has to go to the 50s.
Rocket to the past.
Rocket Crocodile has to go to the 50s to get his parents together, because otherwise he won't be born.
And to write Rocket Around the Clock.
I wanted to recommend a very weird Swedish movie called You the Living, which is – it's kind of a semi-sequel to a movie called Songs from the Second Floor?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like – and it's kind of dozens of these very short scenes that are alternately kind of funny or just kind of off or don't make any sense at all of interconnected people in – different types of situations. It's a little hard to describe, but it's very I liked it a lot, and it's shot in a way that is like stylized without feeling very stylized. It just kind of feels unreal the whole time, and there's a sequence on a house that seems to also be a train that I find particularly beautiful. But it's this very good kind of baffling comedy deadpan comedy drama of Swedes being unhappy.
So it's exactly like the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Exactly. Yeah, if you like the girl with the dragon tattoo, you'll love the deadpan philosophizing of You the Living.
All right.
Also, if you like Dixieland music, there's a fair amount of Dixieland jazz in the movie. So,
guys.
Is that a euphemism?
It's a euphemism for a style of jazz music
okay. From
the South.
I think we should sign off.
Probably a good idea.
Before the devil decides to murder us.
Oh, one no. One. Which one of us is the devil? Stuart.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm guessing Stuart.
Because you committed a hit and run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what sparked off your racism. Yes. And you are, I don't know.
Dan's a counterfeiter.
Sure.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. But that doesn't mean he needs to get killed, right? I mean, it's just counterfeiting money.
Well, his counterfeiting
led
to... I
use blood as the ink in my...
Oh, like a delicatessen type thing.
And he's a cannibal. Did I mention that? Yeah.
I did talk about eating that fried...
He's a cannibal?
Earlier. Yeah, all right.
What did you say?
A cannibal?
He's a cantaloupe.
With a baby inside. Anyway, for the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
The Flophouse house cat.
Yeah, it's and me too, Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin.
Good night, everyone.
Worst one ever. And I found out that the kid who plays his son has a mild case of cerebral palsy and has to play it up for the show.
So he's minstrelly, is what you're saying. They hit him in the head a couple times to make it worse. It's okay, kid. It's the part of a lifetime.
It's a show on AMC.
You liked that con man bank robber show they did with Robert Vaughn, right? What was the name of that show?
Hustle. That was
Hustle.
That was like a British import.
Like Kelly Brook.
Yes.
Yep.
charming Kelly Brook. By charming, I mean attractive.
She was married to Billy Zane for a while, yeah?
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, he's a real cool dude.
He's got that bullet-headed masculinity.
And he knows how to slam evil.